keep trying. Gotta keep my head high.
There's always gonna be enough.
Always
gonna wanna make it more. Always gonna be an uphill battle.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I'm gonna have to
lose.
And I got a fast idea. And
I'm
always waiting on the other side.
Okay, today we're going to continue in breaking new ground, And I'm so thankful today you're here. And for those of you who are listening to me via the internet today because you were not able to be here because of weather, we welcome you to the service as well. Right, Destiny? All right, yeah. But we got to tell you, you missed out on a powerful time of worship. Just a little FYI for you. But today we're going to go and continue our series, Breaking New Ground. Last week we talked about taking the 21-day challenge. And we were learning what it means to come in and to challenge ourselves according to what the Old Testament and New Testament talk about fasting, refocusing our life. So many of you accepted a 21-day challenge. And I know many of you said, I've been fasting different things in your life. Some of you are fasting certain types of foods, certain types of things you're doing. Some are fasting TV and Facebook and other things. So whatever God has laid on your heart to fast, it becomes the saying, you know what, I'm denying myself. And someone said, I never really understood why I did that. But as I deny myself and I go to reach for that thing that I'm used to doing, I'm reminded of my commitment to God. I'm reminded of I'm wanting to go deeper in God. I'm reminded and said, this has been one of the best things for me, because as I reached into the fridge to grab something out that maybe I would snack on, I remember the commitment I've made over these next 21 days. So as I reached to grab my phone and to go on to Facebook, I remembered, oh yeah, I decided I was going to make a commitment. And so these things are triggering things in your heart, and you're giving up things to make more room. We're doing a kind of a house cleaning, allowing our heart to be cleansed and allowing our life to get refocused back. As we talked about last week, that many times in our life, there's areas in our home that are dirty that we don't even realize. We live with every day, and we become so accustomed to seeing it or not seeing it, we don't even realize they're there. Many of you went home last week and cleaned your house. Yeah, I got many texts. Thanks, Pastor Gene. I went home and cleaned all my ceiling fans and all my window sills. And some of you even vacuumed your mattress. And so if you missed that sermon, you can catch that online to catch up. Today, I want to talk to you about something I never talked about before, but I believe it's going to really challenge you. Don't you love it when God gives you something that's really just, you're like, man, this is it. It's one of the sermons today that God just dropped in my spirit. I think it's really relevant for the time and season we're in. It's the thought of, have you changed your diet? Have you changed your diet? And some of you have. You've changed your diet as you've taken the 21-day challenge. And so you'll understand this becomes really relevant to what we're doing. As we talk about changing your diet today, I want to read in Joshua our text, Joshua chapter 5. We're going to spend most of our time in Joshua chapter 5 today. And I want to read verses 11 and 12, then we'll get into the context of our lesson today. Joshua said, "Then the very next day they began to eat the unleavened bread." Now what had happened here, they had just spent 40 years in the wilderness, the children of Israel. Remember this, 40 years in the wilderness, wandering, waiting for the promised land. Now they're at the edge of Canaan, and this is what's happening. "The very next day they began to eat the unleavened bread and the roasted grain and the harvested from what? The land. No manna." Remember manna? They've been eating manna for 40 years. Every morning when they got up, God had provided manna for them to eat. "And no manna had appeared on the day they first ate from what? When the crops of the land, and it was never seen again. So from that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan." How many know it's good to join up with the winning team? Isn't it good to join? How many like being on a losing team? Anybody here? No one, right? None of us like being a part of a losing team. We got to learn to lose. Sometimes we do, you know, especially, well, we won't go there. But anyway, we don't like being a part of a losing team, but we like being a part of a winning team. And I want to tell you that today, as a Christian, it's very, very important that we join forces with what God's doing. And realizing this, that we don't do things on our own. And there's more power and anointing when we join forces. Some of you here say, "Pastor, I tried fasting before, and it never really worked for me, and I just never could do it." I'm just saying, This is such. It's more power when you do it with a body. There's so much more power when you say, "I'm going to join what's going on. I want to join in the flow of the anointing." Because when God is moving and the current is moving at a stronger force, you jump in for what God's doing and say, "I want to be a part." And you realize you have power that you never experienced before. The things you used to do on your own, you see God giving you even a greater anointing because there's a greater anointing in what's happening here across our body. And so it's important that you do that. So let me just encourage you. If you have fallen away, maybe say, man, I had a bad day and I ate things I wasn't supposed to eat and I did some things. I say, don't allow that to be an excuse to give up. Get refocused and say, God, I'm going to finish strong. Okay. Let me be your coach this morning and say, you can do it. Okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can do it. You can finish strong. You can finish strong. So today I challenge you. If you have messed up, don't let that be. This is just like in our own spiritual walk. When I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, just because I have a bad day and I make a mistake doesn't mean I give up and say, oh, I can't serve God. Oh, I failed God. I might as well just quit coming to church. I might as well just quit serving God. The same thing principle here. No, we get up and we say, God, I'm taking up my cross today. It's a new thing. It's a new day. I'm going to follow after you today. I'm going to do better than I did yesterday. I'm going to try my best to go longer without falling again. So if you've fallen off your fast, I say, pick yourself up. You can do it. Okay? No, I can't. Yes, you can. We really can. You can do it. I promise you, you can do it. Get a little fire in you. Everybody say, oh. All right, there we go. Don't get me pumped up now. I talk to you like I talk to my football team. We can give you, all right, let me go there. Motivational speaker, all right. Wise people join themselves up with a team that is doing something. There's motivation, there's momentum when we jump on. So let's get on board for what God's doing. Today I want to talk to you about three types of diets the Israelites had. Three types of diet the children of Israel had. And I believe we can correlate it to our own spiritual life. I believe God had this here for a reason, for us to understand. Remember me telling you that in the Old Testament, when we see these stories, that many times like there's an underlying theme that God is wanting to share to us, and things have double meanings. And I believe the diet that we're seeing here is not only a physical diet, but it's a spiritual diet that he's wanting to teach you and I. So let's jump into it, and we'll talk about it. When the children of Israel were slaves under Pharaoh in Egypt, they were slaves. Numbers 11 says this, that they ate, number one, they ate a diet of leeks, garlic, and onions. Leeks, onions, and garlic. How many think that sounds really appetizing this morning? Some of you think, what is leeks? Leeks are, because I had to look it up, so I know this. Leeks are a type of onion. So it was this kind of a cousin to an onion. Not a very good tasting thing by itself, but they had leeks. Their whole diet consisted of leeks, garlic, and onion. I mean, you talk about great things there, right? How many would love to have that diet? So you think your fasting's bad. They were eating their, that was their diet. You know, this is what I love about that diet. You never had to wonder what they were eating. Because as soon as they opened their mouth, you knew what their diet consisted of. Isn't that so true? I mean, as soon as they opened their mouth, you could tell what their diet was. As soon as they opened their mouth, you could smell them coming. Hello, brother. And you're like, whoo, man. You know, if you had a hard time telling who was the Egyptians, you know, and who was the children of Israel, you could very much tell right there just by letting them talk, and you could figure it out because of their diet. When you open your mouth, this is the question, when you open your mouth, what can people tell about you and your diet? And I'm not talking about smell. I'm talking about what do they hear coming out of your mouth. Is your diet consist of negativity? Does your diet consist of always going back to your past? Does your diet consist of always complaining? Does your diet consist of always talking about the hurt that happened to you? Does your diet consist of, well, it's just, you know, we're never going to do this. We're never going to see this. We'll never, 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 ever. I'm like, what is your diet consist of? Does your diet consist of when you open your mouth, you're talking about everybody else around you so that you don't have to focus on the problems that you have? Does your diet consist of I want to talk about the speck in my brother's eye so I don't have to focus on the log that's in my eye, according to what Scripture says? What does your diet consist of? Because people really know us by our diet. As soon as we open our mouth, they're going to know what we're doing. I mean, I can tell you, those who are taking the 21-day challenge right now, I can guarantee that people around you who are close to you are noticing a difference in your attitude already. I can tell you, they probably notice that something's going on with you. Maybe you haven't come right out and said, I'm doing this, because you're making it a personal thing. And according to scriptures we talked about last week, that's the proper thing, way to handle when you do a fast, to those who are unbelievers especially. But people, I guarantee you, there's something happening in your spirit that people are seeing something about you different. My wife knows the difference of me. She'll tell you, boy, you know, something's going on with my husband. There's something that's happening with him, because she, even though I'm a pastor, even my mouth, when I open my mouth, things change. My actions change. Not just at church, but even at home. Isn't that a good thing? Hallelujah. The revival's breaking out right there. It's important. It's important that we realize that our diet will give us away. It really will. And when you're taking in the wrong thing, when you allow the too many things of the world to come in and take away your focus away from God, your mouth will speak it. Your mouth will speak about everything else other than the goodness of God. Your mouth will speak about everything else other than God's power in your life. Your mouth will speak about it. And your attitude reflects it in your mouth. When you open it, that diet will give you away. It gives you away. What are you really eating? So when God brings them out of Egypt, remember, he calls Pharaoh to set them free. They get set free and they leave Egypt and they're headed toward the Red Sea and the waters part. Now they're heading out there in the wilderness. He changes their diet again and he begins to feed them manna. He begins to feed them manna. Let's look at what Deuteronomy 8:3 says. And he humbled you, talking about the children of Israel. He humbled you and he let you hunger. And what did he do? And he fed you with manna. He fed you with manna, which you did not know. They didn't know what manna was. It was the first time I'd ever seen it. Nor did your fathers know what it was, that he might make you know that the man does not live. What? That he was doing this time for what? That you would know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of our Lord. And so today, he took a season of feeding them manna. Matter of fact, it was longer than a season. It was a 40-year season. Now, today we know manna was something that today we'll get into in a second, but when God's going to take us from one level to another level, he changes our diet. We see this because he was taking them from being slaves to now being people who are free, but he had to do a work in them in the desert before they could ever obtain a walk in the promise. And so while they're there being worked on in the desert, he says, I'm going to feed you manna. I'm going to prove to you that day by day, you're going to have to depend upon me. I'm going to prove to you that you got to depend on me. Let me say this to you. If all the devil ever does is bring up your past, then you must be changing. That's a good thing. You say, Pastor, oh, this is like, this can't ever worship because the devil's always bringing up my past. And I say, that's a good thing. That's a good thing when the devil brings up your past, because that means he's running out of material. He's running out of new material. Your diet is changing. And so when he brings up your past, that means he don't have anything in your present to bring up. And so he's going to go back and try to find anything he can and bring it up. And so you got to realize, as my diet changes, that Satan's going to go back and try to bring me my old diet back. That's what was happening here. Remember, they were like, what'd you bring us out to the desert, Moses, to bring us out here to die? We're going to die, even though God just parted those waters and he sent all those plagues and set us free from bondage. Now we're going to die because God doesn't have the power anymore to feed us. Boy, I mean, all of a sudden Satan's bringing back the past. Remember, you're better off as a slave. No. Listen, when God is changing your diet, Satan's going to bring up your past. It's okay. But listen to this. The first thing he brings them out of Egypt. The land of enough. First, he brings them out of Egypt, the land of not enough. I mean, there wasn't enough. All they had was basically eating onions and garlic and leeks. I mean, they didn't have enough. All they did was work as slaves all day long. There wasn't enough money. There wasn't enough time with their family. There wasn't enough law, fairness. I mean, food, everything. There was not enough. It was a season of not enough, but God is now bringing them to a land of manna when there's just enough. just enough. Every day they're learning that God has just enough for their day. Every day they're learning that God has just enough that they need for that day. You see, manna would only last for that one day. And any manna that was left over overnight would spoil and obtain worms. So it would spoil overnight. So they had to go out, pick up the manna off the ground. He says, I'm going to open up the heavens. I'm going to rain down manna. And they would get out in the morning and the manna would be there. They would take the manna off the ground. They would store it up for that day and they would use it to prepare to eat their food all day long. And if you tried to take more than what you needed, it would spoil overnight. Teaching us that we got to learn. All right, God, you better be here tomorrow or we're going to be hungry. God, you better show up tomorrow or we're in trouble. God, if you don't show up tomorrow, we're going to starve. And so every day they had to realize, God, our faith is in you. You see, there comes a season in our life when God pulls you out of the person you used to be. He pulls you out of the slave of sin. He pulls you out of the slave of your past and he sets your feet upon the rock and says, all right, I'm from now on, I'm going to be the one who feeds you. I'm going to be the one you depend upon. In the past, you depended upon yourself, but now I'm going to teach you that relationship with Jesus Christ and salvation is all about everyday dependence upon him. And he takes us through seasons of walking in the wilderness where we realize this, because we're tough-headed, aren't we? We think we can do it on our own. We think we can fix our problems on our own. And when things are going well, we're good. But when things go bad, I got this, God. Just sit back. And then we wait until we can't get it. And then we wait like, you know what? There's no other way. Except if it's Jesus, you better come and take the wheel. God, I cannot do this thing no more. And God, and we realize over time, through going through personal struggle, through going through challenges in our finances, in our children, in our marriages, in our homes, in our health, that we are 100% every day dependent upon God's grace and mercy in our lives. That no matter how big my bank account is, it's never enough. Because there's things that are going to happen that money cannot buy. There's going to be problems that arise in my life that money cannot fix. And so I've learned these things over time. It takes me. For some of us, we walk through this wilderness a long time, just like the children of Israel. Because God is teaching us that he is our daily bread. And finally, over time, it seems like we learn this. God, I'm learning that you are my daily bread. And I tell you what, the sooner you can learn this lesson, the sooner you can get out of the desert. I'll tell you that. But if you like living in the desert, if you like wandering in the desert place, then by all means, go ahead and take your time learning this lesson. But if you want to speed up the process, learn the lesson. You know what? God, I need you every day. And the manna, what manna simply means was, what is this? That's what it means. Manna defined it. It means, what is this? They had never seen it before. He goes, you're not going to know what it is. You never heard of it. Your fathers have never heard of it. And so they defined manna as, what is this? It was something that God is bringing to feed them, but they really didn't know what it was at the time. They had never experienced it before. And so manna by definition simply means, what is this? I think it's the same way, because when we're first saved, we leave the land of slavery and we walk into a land of salvation. It's a land of uncertainty. What is this? All right. We accepted Jesus. Now, what is this? We're like, dude, man, you got to come to church every week. What is this? Every week? Yeah, every week you need to be here. Don't forget to come to church every week and be connected. All right. I don't know what this is, but I'll be here. Dude, you got to learn to worship the Lord. With music? Yeah, with music. You learn to lift your hands. I'll lift my hands? Why is that? I don't understand it. I'm not really certain about this, but I learned to do it. And I learned to praise the Lord. I learned to worship the Lord. You need to be water baptized. Why? Because Jesus was. He said you need to be baptized. I'm not really sure about this, but I'll do it. It's a land of uncertainty. It's full of uncertainties in our life. We're like, you just got to do it to sustain yourself. You got to learn to do some of these things so you're walking through a time of uncertainty. Some of you have been walking through that manna. You're learning, all right? I don't know what that is, but you know what? I'm learning to accept it. I'm learning to accept that God is teaching me, and over time, you're learning that things that were unfamiliar are becoming familiar to you. You're learning to understand, wow, there's freedom in worship. There's power in worship. There's power in connecting with the body of Christ on a regular basis. There's power that I don't experience when I'm at home. Man, my week goes a lot better when I'm already taking time to say, God, I'm going to fellowship with other believers. There's power when I connect to a life group, and there's power in that. I'm not really sure why, but I go and I find out, wow, this thing was awesome. This is the way God intended, that we support each other and we pray one for another and we encourage each other and we build healthy relationships that encourage. It's a land of uncertainty, but we walk in it and we accept it and we grow from it. So we go from the land of slavery of the garlic. When we speaking, all right, ain't nothing going to work out for me, nothing, everything's negative, to, all right, God, you're changing who I am. I've never been here before. God, I've never spoken out that, God, you're going to control. So next time I have a problem, instead of speaking out garlic words, I'm speaking out, God, I don't understand, but I know one thing, my hope is in you. God, I look to you. You're where my hope comes from. And it's a land of uncertainty. I'm learning to do that. And okay, you're right. Well, it seems like the peace of God is ruling my heart when I allow this to happen. And so we go through seasons of having to deal and eat the uncertain. What is this? I don't know. Pastor Gene says I need it, and so I take it in faith, and I do it under God, and boom, there it is. We're good in that there. So we learn that God has taken us from poison, not from not poisonous words, but from a land of slavery, where we're a slave to the person we used to be. He's changing our diet, brings us the manna. We get just enough every day, and we're learning every day. You know, it's one thing for God to supply your needs in a big way, and I've had that happen before. When I had some big needs, and God miraculously supplied my needs, that's a huge thing. It's been times when I was saying, God, we need money to get this car payment this week or this house payment. And you ever been there? And you're like, God, I don't know where money's going to come from. And that money comes from a source that you didn't ever see it coming from, a place where no one ever knew you had even had a need, and it came. And you're like, wow. But man, 40 years every day, that's not the way he wants me to live my life. He doesn't want me to live my life. Everything, all right, God, I'm going to sit back on my couch, and you're going to pay my car payment for 40 years. That's not healthy either, is it? That's not what he's wanting us to do. But he's wanting us to realize that everything we have, every day, I must need him. He is my source today, and I cannot make it today unless I trust him in uncertain areas of my life. Unless I trust him and begin to tip my faith in him, I walk in that season of uncertainty, which brings me to the third season, was the season we just read a few minutes ago. They ate of the fruit of the land. They ate of the fruit of the land. They began to get ready for the crossover. And God stopped the manna. And he began to change their diet. He stopped the manna. We just read that a few minutes ago. He changed their diet. When God began to take them to another level, he changed their diet. When God began to take them to another level, he changed their diet. It's not comfortable always for us to walk around hungry and say, God, boy, I've ate enough green beans this week to really do my fill. God, I've had enough. God, I don't even really like vegetables. Didn't like them as a kid, and I especially don't like them now. Anybody feel my pain? Okay. God, I've had enough water. I feel like I'm a walking swimming pool. God, I just splish, splash everywhere I go. And, you know, we feel the pain of our diet changing, because we're sacrificing some things, wanting more of God in our life. See, it's not comfortable to walk around these things. But when God challenges out of our comfort zone, when God calls us out of our comfort zone, he's wanting to take us to a place we'd never been. And so it's going to mean that you challenge yourself to be uncomfortable at times in your life. God's calling us out. We talked about it last year. Many weeks from God calling us out of our comfort zone. And when we do that, it's not going to be what? Comfortable. It's not comfortable to say, boy, I'm going to spend 21 days giving up TV when I like to watch TV every day. It's not comfortable giving up Facebook when I like to check Facebook every 5 minutes. It's not comfortable giving up food that I really like to eat. It's not comfortable giving up sugar when everything I see around me is, sweets, and I'm having birthday parties, and I'm having this and that. All these things are happening. And so it's not comfortable. It's actually a painful thing at times because you're denying yourself, saying, God, I'm denying of myself to tell you that I want more of you in my life, to refocus my life. Believe me, there's a lot of pain involved. You don't believe me? Ask a mom. How many moms in here remember your pregnancy and giving birth, child birth? You remember that? How many ladies know you didn't walk in to the hospital, to the emergency, on walking in on cloud nine feeling fine? It was, get this baby out of me. Get this thing out, please. Quickly, yes, Lord Jesus, come back now. I mean, there was a lot of pain involved. It was very uncomfortable carrying that child for 9 months. Very uncomfortable to give birth to the child. A lot of screaming. We remove all the sharp objects out of the room. Make sure there's nothing she can pick up and throw at you, husbands. You got me into this mess. I guess my wife is the only one that felt that way. Okay, maybe. What I'm saying is there's a lot of pain that comes with birthing of new things. There's a lot of pain that comes with birthing of new fruit. It's not always an easy thing. And so to think, man, I'm feeling some hunger pains. I'm feeling some pains for separation, anxiety, things I'm doing right now. Good. That means something big is on the way. That means that God is giving you ground to produce new fruit in your life. God is giving you ground. He's changing your diet so that he can do something even greater than you've ever experienced before in your life. Don't change your diet. Stay on manna for 40 years. See if I care. But I know what. As for me and my house, I want to experience the fruit of the land. I want everything God's got for me. I want Destiny Church to walk in the fullness, not in a social club, but in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, where we come together and make a difference in a community. And that's only going to come when we see some growing pains in our life and say, God, I'm giving up myself to you. God, you're birthing things out of me. We got to birth new churches out of our church. We got to birth new ministries out of our church. We got to send out missionaries out of our church. We got to expand our outreach out of our church. We got to heal marriages out of our church. We got to feed the needy out of our church. We got to clothe those who are cold out of our church. We got to help feed those that are hungry out of our church. It's a painful yes, but that's a good thing. Because when the pain comes, it means God is birthing something new. Where's your diet at? Are you still there in the slave, or are you in the wilderness eating on manna from day to day? Or are you saying, God, I'm ready to eat the fruit of the land. God, I'm ready to eat what you're calling me to go, where you're calling me to go. The more uncomfortable you are, you become, it's a sign about the great things that you're getting ready to bear some great fruit in your life. God stops the manna and says, you can have all that you want. Just get out and plant and dig. Let's read that verse again. In Joshua 5, 11, 12, we read it a while ago. Let's read it again. The very next day they began to eat from where? The unleavened bread and roasted grain harvested from the land. From this point on, after the fruits came of the crop, of the harvest, the word says no manna appeared from that day on. God cut off the manna from them. He'd been given to them every day. Now they're eating from the harvest. They're eating from the fruit of the land. So from that time on, the Israelites ate from where? The crops of Canaan. And this was the promised land that he had promised them, that they would eat. Remember them talking when the spies went out? They're like, man, they got fruit there. It's huge, man. You should see the clusters of grapes there. You should see the melons in this place. These things are huge. Man, you should see the crops and the harvest that's coming here. They got the biggest and best, the harvest you've ever seen. I mean, this was a great land. God had something better than manna for them. It was called a harvest that he wanted to do in their life. So he stops the manna, and he unleashes them into a new anointing. He unleashes them to a new day. It's a new day. And basically, the new day is this, that whatever you break the ground, you can have. That's the new diet they had, that whatever you break the ground, you can have that ground. You want to plant, you're going to reap. That's what he's saying. You can reap as much as you want as long as you what? Plant it. No longer do they have to depend upon Pharaoh. No longer have to depend upon God for manna, but now God is saying, I am putting you into a new season in your life, that what you plant, it will grow. And you want more, you plant more. And all through Scripture from this point on, we see so many times the principle in Scripture over and over again that says, what a man sows, he will reap. You sow the bad, you're going to reap the bad. You sow the good, you're going to receive the good. You sow into the things of God, you're going to receive the things of God. So this is the anointing, the new anointing they're walking in is this right now. It's simply this, and it's you and I too, that if we want more of God, we can have more of God. If we want God's revival spirit to pour out on us, we can have God's revival spirit pour out on us. If we want God to give us a greater anointing, we can walk in a greater anointing. But are we willing to plant? Are we willing to have a little hunger pains? Are we willing to have a little separation anxiety over things? It's a season of my life when I say, I just got to turn this off and turn more of God on in my life. It's there. It's the season of Canaan that you can choose to walk in when you can have an unreal harvest in your life. But you're going to have to plant it. And see, that's what fasting does. We're planting the seed. God, I'm planting. I'm tilling the ground of my life. I'm tilling my heart. Open it up that I can receive more of you in my life. Now I'm walking in the season. So what diet are you at? Where are you at in your diet? Are you still a slave? When people open their mouth, they say, "Not that person's really a slave." Well, they may go to church, but they're really a slave to their past. Because everything they talk about has to do about their ex. Everything they talk about has to do with their past. Everything they talk about has to do with their past hurt, their past church that hurt them, their past this and that. And everything that they come from has to do with their past. So really, they're walking as slaves to the past. Or are you walking today in that second stage where you're in a land of uncertainty? God, I'm just accepting. That's okay. Some of you haven't been saved a long time. So you're in that land where you allow God. That's a special time. Allow God to feed you every day, learning that you are becoming dependent upon Him. And some others you hear, you've been in the wilderness way too long. You've been eating manna way too long. God's saying, man, I'm ready for you to eat the crops of Canaan. I'm ready to unleash, but you're going to have to get out and work. You're going to have to get out and dig. You're going to have to get out and sacrifice. No longer am I going to spoon feed you. Now I want you to get out there and dig. And when you dig and plant, I'm going to rain. I'm going to bring forth a harvest, and it's going to be great. It's going to be good, but you're going to have to plant it. And it's going to be painful at times, and it's going to be times when you feel some hunger pains. Sometimes you're going to feel some separation anxiety from things you're used to, but that's okay, because with great pain can come great fruit. There's seasons in our life, and this is one of them right now, where we say, God, I am ready. I'm ready. I'm tilling the ground. God, I'm ready to walk in the new diet. Have you changed your diet? That's really the question today. Have you changed your diet? Where are you at in your diet? Because I believe spiritually God is wanting you to eat the fruit of the land. But you're going to have to get off the manna and say, God, I'm ready to start tilling the ground and receive the fruit of the ground you have for me. Today, as our musicians come, I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads this morning. Before we go any further, I want to make sure I ask a question that's so important here today. It's the most important question I'm going to ask. That's the question that every one of us in this room, we have to make a decision on. This, a simple question of this: am I right with Jesus Christ? Have I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord? Today, maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I've been coming to church a while, but I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And today, I know that I need to accept Jesus Christ. I want to make sure you have that wonderful opportunity. It's a great thing. We will not embarrass you in any way at all. Nobody's looking around but me, but I want to give you a personal chance to respond to the Holy Spirit this morning and say, Pastor, I need to accept Jesus Christ. I want to ask Him to forgive me my sins. Maybe you prayed that prayer a long, long time ago and say, Pastor, I haven't lived for God in a long time, and today I want to come back and I just want to renew my relationship with Christ as well. If that's you, can you just raise your hand where I can see it? Nobody else is looking but me. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these? Thank you. Anybody else today? See, that's me, Pastor. Anybody else? Raise it real high. If you haven't done it yet, raise it right now. That's me, Pastor. I'm ready today to accept Jesus. We're going to say this prayer together. We had some who raised their hands this morning who are ready to make a decision for Jesus. As Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you, but especially those who raise their hands, let's say this prayer from our heart. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I give you everything I am. All of my hurt, all of my sin, all of my dreams, I give to you today. From this day forward, I will live for you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son, in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, let's say welcome to the family, family of God. Yeah, let's give them a hand clap. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, before you leave today, stop by our welcome center here in the back. We got a free Bible. Some other information tells you what you need to do next in your decision for Jesus. And I'll just tell you that you need to be plugged into a home church. If you don't have a home church, we'd love to have you here. But you can't do it on your own. You got to join a team of people who are willing to support you in your new decision for Jesus Christ. Today, how many are saying, Pastor, I'm ready to change my diet? Anybody here say, I'm ready to walk in the fullness of everything that God has for me? Anybody here want to do that? I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. Yeah. We got about 14 days left in our 21-day challenge. Those of you who have taken the challenge. And I believe God can do some great things. Now, this is going to be the tough week right here, okay? Let me just tell you, the next 7 days are the toughest days, right? They're right in between. Getting started is easy, and finishing when you see the light in the tunnel is a little bit easier. But right in the middle, it can be one of the more challenging times. So I'm going to invite you to come to the front. Join me as you come to the front today. And we're going to sing a song that simply says, I give myself away to you. It's an anthem of our heart. And I want you to see yourself today as you're coming. I want you to see yourself saying, God, today I'm giving myself away to you. I'm giving my heart to you. I'm giving everything I am to you today. It's a prayer. It's saying, God, I want you to do great things in my life. God, I want you to teach me not to just depend upon you, to spoon feed me every day. But I want to learn to sow and reap. I want to learn to sow the things of God and reap a harvest in my life. I want to mature. I want to walk into all the promised land that God has for me. And so today, as we close out with this song, I want you to make it the prayer of your heart. If you can scoot in just a little bit closer, guys, make room for those coming in. We're going to sing a song. Come on.
I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. I give myself away. All my plans, Lord.
Raise your hands, say it today. Make it personal. Person up here, Father, as they learn to give themselves away. God, as we're learning, Lord, over this 21-day challenge, that God, we are learning to deny ourselves to make room for more of you in our life. And God, I pray right now, I come against anything that would discourage. I come against anything that would hinder their challenge. God, may you give them strength, God, and may you give them hunger to say, yes, I'm ready to plow new ground. I'm ready to plant some new crops. I'm ready to reap a new harvest in my life for me and my family, for me and my marriage. I'm ready to reap everything God has for my life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, our diet would change. Lord, our appetite would change, Lord. That we would learn to hunger after your things more than anything else. We would learn to hunger after the things of God more than we hunger after anything else this world has to offer us. But God, we realize that our strength is in you. Our hope is in you. That God, everything we have belongs to you. And God, today we say yes to you by giving ourselves completely away to you. God, we give our life all to you. My life is not my own. My life is not my own, but it all belongs to you. Come on, let's sing that part again.
Oh, Lord, I give myself away. so you can use me.
Come on, say it.
My life is not my own.
Sing it.
To you I belong. I give myself to you.
Make it personal.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
Oh Lord.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. I give myself to you. Oh, my life is not my own.
To you I belong.
To you I belong. I give myself to you. I give myself to you.
It all belongs to you, Father.
I give myself away, oh Lord. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away,
oh, to you, oh Lord.
I give myself away. So you can use me.
All right, so how many are ready to plant some new seed? That's what you're doing. Yeah. This 21-day challenge is all about planting new seed. Some of you didn't like the harvest you got last year, so you said, man, I'm ready to plant some new seed. Receive the new harvest. That's great, because God said he would do that. We plant the right seed, he will water it. Man, he'll bring it back. But we got to do the pain. It goes along with the work, okay? We get out there and we dig and we suffer a little bit of pain, but man, it's unlimited. That's what the blessing of Canaan is, that the harvest is unlimited to those who want it. And so we got to go after it with all of our heart. Keep strong this week, okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, be strong. You can do it. Say, I'm praying for you. Come on, tell them, I'm praying for you. You can do it. Be strong. God bless you. Turn around, hug somebody, give them a high five, and say, man, it's good to be with you today. God bless you.